Satan wants you to be brought low so that he can stop your good works. If he depletes everything you've got, if he keeps you emotionally down, you got no energy to do anything good.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is, Does God Really Care? And was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today, we have a question. Does God really care? Does God really care? Key verse is going to be in Psalms 142:4. If you have your Bibles out, you could turn to that now. I would ask that we'd all stand for the reading of the word. Psalm 142:4 says, look to the right and see. There is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will open our hearts today to receive your word. And we thank you, God, that we had the chance to hear it. I pray that you will anoint me to speak your words and not my own. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Look to the right and see. There is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. The psalmist was down. The psalmist was hurting. The psalmist was grieving. And the psalmist was deserted. The psalmist was alone, in despair, faint of heart, hopeless. The psalmist was crying out because he felt as if nobody cared. And it could be that nobody humanly cared, but God cared. Life can present many challenges. Some are so difficult and puzzling that we may question if God even cares about our problems. Satan is often behind these negative and false thoughts about God. God didn't put those thoughts in your head about him. Would you call somebody up and tell them negative things about you? Why would God? Life can present many challenges, and there are things that can come up in life that can perplex you, bring you to your knees, make you feel hopeless, make you want to give up, and Satan is right there along with them, whispering in your ear, you're done for. You're cooked. Your goose is cooked. God cares when our spirit faints within us. Psalm 143:4, therefore my spirit faints within me, my heart within me is appalled. Anybody ever feel like that? Anybody ever feel this way? Therefore my spirit faints within me, my heart within me is appalled, my spirit faints within me. You feel like you can't go on anymore. You feel like everything is pressing down on you. You feel like life has closed in and is coming to an end. And if it don't come to an end, it's going to be a bad ride the rest of the way. That's what this guy's feeling. There are times when we feel we just cannot go on and that no one cares, not even God. But he does. He does care. It may not feel like he cares, but our feelings do do not dictate our reality unless we act upon those feelings. And even then, God still cares. God still cares, regardless of how you feel. Isaiah 49:13 says, "Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted." Just because you're going through something doesn't mean that God doesn't care. How many of you have children in here? When they're hurting, do you care? Do you care when your children hurt? Do you always take their pain away? Do you always save them out of their mess, even when you know that it would be a bad idea to do it? Sometimes you have to let them go through their choices, right? To teach them not to do it again. Does that mean that you're an uncaring parent? And when you see that they're going to get into some really hot water, you might step in and save them after they've learned a few things. You know, that's what God does with us. He has compassion on the afflicted. He's watching over his children. And just because he doesn't pull you out of the hot water that you're in as soon as you want out of it, doesn't mean he doesn't care. But it doesn't mean that you won't feel that way, because Satan likes to come along. With every trial of life, not some, not a few, every trial of life, Satan lies to us. He's a liar. Everybody say Satan's a liar. Satan means accuser. This is what he says. He says, this time, God is not with you. He doesn't care what happens to you. Anybody ever hear that in your head? This time. See, all those other times, you remember that God got you out of something. But every time something new comes up, Satan runs up and he says, "You're done for. You ran out of credit with God. He's not going to save you anymore. You done blew it. This one last time was too many. It was the straw that broke the camel's back with God." Anybody ever hear that lie? That God this time is not going to get you out. Oh, God saved you all those other times. You're out of grace. You don't deserve it this time. This time you're in for it. You used up all your love and grace from God. He likes to tell you that this time. Every time a trial comes up. But God says in Deuteronomy 31:8, it is the Lord who goes before you. God goes before you. That's why he's your shield. You put a shield before you. God is your shield. Anything that's going to get you has got to go through him. And if he's going before you, what do you got to worry about? He will be with you. See, he hasn't deserted you. He hasn't left you just because you got yourself into some kind of a mess, even if it was your fault. He already knew you were going to do it anyways. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. You got God on your side. And I pity the person who comes up against my God when they come after me, because they got to get through my God. And my daddy carries a big stick. You better watch out when you come after me, because my daddy carries a big stick and he's not afraid to use it. And my daddy is in front of me. He is my shield, and he cares about me, and he loves me, and he watches after me. And there ain't no one or nothing that can get to me unless my daddy lets it. Praise God. But then my daddy tells me, don't be fearful. Don't be dismayed. So that means nothing's going to get me, because he's with me. You better pray for your enemies, because when your daddy gets upset with them, there is no limit to what he's able to do. So you better pray for your enemies. Moses had to pray for the Israelites because God was going to wipe them out. But he prayed and he spared them. Pray for your enemies that God will spare them. Because he's not with your enemies. He's not helping them. He's helping his babies. He's helping his children. And you should have mercy on your enemies the way that God had mercy on you when you were once his enemy. Your God never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He goes before you. He cares about you. Satan may counter with another lie and say, give up. There is no hope. See, just because you throw the scripture at Satan doesn't mean he's easily persuaded to leave you alone. He thinks, well, that was just a little bit of faith. I'll throw another lie at him. Just give up. There's no hope. Look how long you've been in this mess. My gosh, aren't you tired by now? If God hasn't saved you by now, he's not going to save you at all. How many of you heard that lie? What a liar. He's accusing God to you. Satan, the accuser. Galatians says in 6:9, and let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Another translation says, if we do not faint. Don't let the liar lie to you. You see how he's lying to everybody else and how he wrecks lives. Christians don't have to fall for that. We got the word of God that tells us the truth. We know that if we continue doing good, we shall reap good. And if we go back to doing bad, we're going to reap bad. But Satan wants you to give up on God. He wants you to start going back to your old life. Start doing the things you've always been doing so that you can start reaping the bad stuff again. That's his whole game. He can't take your salvation anymore. You're saved by grace. But he can wreck a Christian's life by lying to you and making you give up and sit on the sidelines and go back to your old ways. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get you to slip up and stop working for God. Satan wants you to be faint of heart so that you give up on God. He wants you to give up on God. Don't go to church. Don't read your Bible. Stop praying already. He's not answering. He's not even listening. My goodness, quit worshiping him. That's what he wants. That's why he's lying to you, telling you God doesn't care. Satan wants you to be faint of heart so that you give up on church. You give up on obeying God and fall into sin. Oh, don't think for a moment a Christian can't fall into sin. That's the biggest lie Satan will tell you, that a Christian can't sin. He wants you to be faint of heart so that you give up on spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, that service to God. Why are you telling anybody about God when your life is a wreck? Why are you telling anybody about Jesus when you're miserable? Why are you telling anybody about going to church when God doesn't care for you? That's his lie. That's his lie. He wants you to give up on the gospel of Christ because a beaten down, faint of heart Christian doesn't feel like talking about Jesus because they're too worried about their own problems. But if you dig into the promises of God and you see what the promises are and how they're coming your way and you believe it in faith, you will stand up for the gospel and you will say, I don't preach the gospel so I can have a better life. I preach the gospel so someone else can have eternal life. Praise God. Second of all, God cares when our path becomes lonely. Lonely. How many of you have ever been lonely? Lonely and lonesome are two different words. Lonesome is when you're just missing somebody or missing home. But how many of you just been so down you've been lonely? Lonely. I've been lonely in my life. Psalm 68 verses 5 and 6. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity. But the rebellious dwell in a parched land. I've known people who have never known their father tell me that God was their father. I've known women who have lost their husband who said that God filled the place of a husband in the sense that they weren't lonely. They weren't hurting anymore. Praise God. But the rebellious, they will dwell in a parched land. These promises aren't for people who don't have faith in Christ. These promises are for the children of God. He will be with you if you will turn to him. Christians are never so alone that God is not with them. He fulfills every emotional need we have. He fulfills every emotional need we have. You can turn it on God and give it to him. You can lay it on him and he will come to you in your hour of need. If you give it to him. If you give it to him. Stop fighting God. Give it over to him. Start worshiping him. He doesn't want your good works for his approval. He wants your good works for your prosperity in life. Good works. Good attitude, good worshiping, good Bible reading. All of those things are good for you and good for others. If I didn't read my Bible, how good would that be for you? Wouldn't be very good, would it? 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Casting all. I'm sorry, did I say a few? Just some. Only the ones that you feel like giving him. Oh, all of them? Man, we really do have a generous God. Okay, well, let me reread it. Casting all your anxieties on him because he what? Because he what? For who? You. The Bible says that God cares for you. This is the only religion that teaches that God cares about you. All other religions say you got to care about God. What a selfless God we serve. See, I don't want a religion that says I got to care about my God. Because if I was created by the God, shouldn't he care about me? He's my daddy. He should nurture me. I take care of my kid. I don't expect my kid to take care of me. I give my kid grace. Parents, you know you give your kids grace, right? When they're sitting there stomping and screaming and yelling and biting. And you've been there, right? Look at all the ones laughing know what I'm talking about. He cares for you. The Bible says he cares for you. You're his babies. Why are you so fearful? Why are you so worried about doing what he asks you to do when he cares about you? He's asking you to do things for your own benefit, not his own. He can have anything he wants. He can do anything he wants, but he wants you to be blessed. But he wants you to grow up in the process, right? You got to take responsibility. If you want your child to grow up with some intelligence, you put him through school. Well, life is a school for God's children. He uses life as a lesson. God sees and cares about our loneliness. Psalm 38:9. Oh Lord, all my longing is before you. My sighing is not hidden from you. See, even when you're down in the dumps and you don't even know where to turn and you think no one's seeing you cry, God is watching you. He knows every hurt, every pain, every sorrow, every regret. All of the loneliness that you're feeling at the moment you're feeling it. And he cares about it. And he will step in and comfort you if you cry out to him. Oh, but here's this guy again, Satan. When you're lonely, Satan wants you to be lonely so that he can cause you to be depressed. So sad. So very sad. He wants you to be lonely so he can depress you. He waits till you're alone to make you lonely, doesn't he? Doesn't he do that? When you're all by yourself, he starts talking to you. What a lonely day it is. Can't reach anybody on the phone. You know why you can't reach anybody on the phone? Because they don't like you. And I don't like you. That's what Satan says. I don't like this guy. He rains on my party all the time. Satan wants you to be lonely so that you seek out ungodly people and things to fill the void. Listen. Satan will talk you into some crazy stuff when you're lonely. Why don't you call that young lady that you shouldn't be hanging around with? You won't be lonely with her. He'll talk you into some ungodly stuff when you're lonely. Nobody understands you, but I know somebody who you can call that will listen to you, and you can have fun with this person. You can have a great time with this person. And you might say to Satan, well, I shouldn't be around those things and those people. I shouldn't go to that party. But you're lonely. You're lonely, and God doesn't care about you being lonely. Otherwise, you wouldn't be lonely. So you got to do these things. You only live once, and you're missing your chance. You only live once, and you're missing your chance. All you got to do is pick up that phone, go meet up with that person, go do those things, and fill that void. Third, God cares when we are brought low. What does it mean to be brought low? I'm talking about total devastation of your life. I'm talking about everything come crashing down. Your pride, your finances, your friendships, whatever it may be, or a combination of all of it. He cares. Psalm 73:2. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. Almost stumbled. Almost slipped. Psalmist is talking about he almost gave up. He almost walked away from God. He couldn't take it anymore. The psalmist was watching the wicked, and the wicked was making it. You ever look at someone that you know is evil, and they're doing better than you? It ain't fair. And it makes you want to give up. This, if you read the whole psalm, this is what this guy was talking about. The wicked was doing better than me, and I wanted to join them. I looked out my window when they were having a party. And I was lonely and brought down and in despair, and I thought that party looks pretty good. Because nothing was happening to them that was happening to me. And I believe in God. Why am I getting all of the trash in life and they're getting all of the riches? But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. I was looking out my window and seeing the good stuff. It ain't good. It only looks good. Okay? It's garbage with a ribbon wrapped around it. It ain't good. Things can get us down, but God lifts us up. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 and 18. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. Ever feel like when the gavel falls? No one is there by your side. Nobody cares. All your friends, suddenly all the people that gave you the advice are gone. They ain't there no more, are they? They're not. Especially when things just go bad, right? And when things go good, they want the credit, don't they? Didn't I tell you that was going to work? I told you. And when bad things happen, and you say, can you help me, brother? Can you help me, sister? I don't even know you. Remember Job's friends? In the book of Job, his friends turned against him. Well, if you weren't so evil, God wouldn't be getting you. I know why you're having a bad time. You're evil, and God's getting you for it. That's what his friends said. But the Bible said that Job, he was among the most righteous, wasn't he? He believed and trusted in God. That's what made him righteous. God didn't have a fault against him, but his friends still accused him and deserted him. At my first offense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. Pray for your enemies. Don't curse them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. God is by you, and he will strengthen you, but you got to call upon his name. God can reach into the deepest pits of life and pull you out. How many of you are in a pit right now? You know God can pull you out of the pit? But you got to know what the rope looks like. Let me show you what the rope looks like. It's a short rope. Because there's no pit too deep that God can't get you out of. See this little rope right here? You open it up and it unfolds into a life-changing, God-blessing lesson that you'll never forget if you write it upon your heart. This is the rope that pulls you out of every pit. This is the word of God, and God is his word. If you want out of your pit, you need to hold on to the rope. Stop letting go of the rope. The rope has been given to you. You come to church, we offer free Bibles. If you don't take the rope, how are you going to climb up it? You have to have the rope in your heart so that God can lift you out of the pit that you're in. Otherwise, you're a sitting target for Satan to pick off. And believe me, he's watching you too. Oh, Satan's got his eye on you. He's waiting for you to make a mistake so he can devour you. The Bible says that he roams around seeking whom he may devour. Psalms 42, he drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. Well, I know who the rock is. My Jesus Christ is the rock. He set my foot upon the rock. It wasn't some rock that an earthquake can split. It wasn't some rock that the waters could wash away. It was the immovable rock. It was the cornerstone. It was Jesus Christ. He set my feet upon the rock. And I'm unmovable when I got my God standing with me. Christians are to help others out of their pits. See, it's not just about you and your pit, right? The best time to help somebody is when you yourself are in a pit. You might help somebody out of a pit while you're in a pit, and they may come back and get you out of the pit. Romans 15, 1 and 2 says, we who are strong have an obligation. An obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Use your talents and your skill and your time and your resources to bless someone else so God can let you reap something. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, his neighbor's good, to build him up. Quit tearing people down. Build your neighbor up, and your neighbor might come to your defense one day. How could your neighbor say something bad about you if you ain't been doing nothing bad to them? He'd have to lie. And lies are usually exposed with enough good witnesses who see your good works. But if they catch you being bad to your neighbor and not helping them out, he'll have a lot of witnesses against you, won't he? Satan wants you to be brought low so that he can discourage you. See, he wants to wipe everything out that you got so he can discourage you. Satan wants you to be brought low so that he can give you feelings of unworthiness. Satan wants you to be brought low so that he can stop your good works. If he depletes everything you've got, if he keeps you emotionally down, you got no energy to do anything good. And that's a good excuse not to do it too, isn't it? Oh, I'm just so beaten down. I just can't do it. Man, that's a lie too. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Praise God. Last but not least, number 4. God cares when we are lost. God cares for the lost. Don't make a mistake, Christian, into thinking that the most evilest, rottenest, unsaved person you can imagine is not cared about by God. That's a foolish mistake, and that's a lie of Satan. Because listen, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He gave it for everyone. Not just the people that you like. Not just the people you think you can put up with. But he gave it for everyone. He gave his son for everyone who will accept him. We shouldn't judge. Because when we get into judging, we stop preaching. And when we stop preaching, we start to lose souls. Amen. The Lord cares for us, and he cares about us. He cares for us, and he cares about us, and there's a difference. You can care about somebody and not do a thing for them. But when you care for a person, you're giving of yourself to them. And God has given everything he has for the care of us and our souls. He can't give anything else. He's given everything he's had. He has given everything he already has to buy us out of sin because he cares for the lost. He cares for us. Psalm 34, 15, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. Cry out to him. call his name, speak to him, talk with him, not just to him. Don't dictate to God in your prayers. Talk with him. He's a person, and he's interested in you because his eyes and his ears, you have their attention. You have the attention of the almighty, powerful, loving, perfect God. He's listening to you, and he's watching you, and he's interested in you, and he cares for you. Do you care about God? That's a question that you have to ask yourself today. Do you care about God? If you care about God, you'll start caring about people. Because he loved people so much that he sent his son to die for them. Don't tell me how much you care about God. Show him through your good works with other people.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.